Parshas Vayera begins with the Malachim appearing to Avraham Avinu on their way to Sodom to destroy the city because of their Averis. What was the significance of the Malachim stopping off by Avraham Avinu? The Sama portion points out, the Gemara says in Yuma, that Hillel Mechayev Aniyin and Rebbe Mechayev Ashirim. That in the generation of Hillel, he was very poor, and they used to charge a fee in order to attend the Beis HaMedrash, and he couldn't afford to pay the Shana HaPesach. So the Gemara tells the story that he went on top of the Beis HaMedrash and he used to listen in. It was most an effort to, he hardly earned any money to begin with. He used to give the money to the Shema HaPesach and the Beis HaMedrash to let him go learn, and then one day when he didn't have money, so he stayed on top and it was snowing, and the next day he saw the body there and so on, and that's the story. So the fact that it was possible for Hillel to learn, despite the fact that he was so poor, that shows that other people could have done the same also. It's not an impossibility. Mar used the expression, Hillel is Machai V'Aniyim. Because of Hillel, you see, it's possible for poor people to learn as well. And Rebbe was a very wealthy man. He was a chief rabbi. They gave him a big salary. So Rebbe was Machai V'Ashirim. Sometimes an Ashir, a person is so wealthy, so he, society requires of him that he has to hang out with other Ashirim, and he doesn't have time to learn, he doesn't have time to daven, he doesn't have time to keep all the mitzvahs. So the fact that you had a person like Rebbe, well, in our generation, we have some wealthy, very wealthy balabatim, and they're very medactic in mitzvahs. So the fact that they can do it shows that the other wealthy balabatim can do it as well. They can all do tabeit and latar, and they can all do it. That's what several commentaries on the Chumash say is perhaps the interpretation over here, that the Malachim on the way to destroy the cities of Sodom, Amorah, etc. So how to see, is it possible for normal people to live in this region and be normal? Maybe there's something with the Middle East that makes it that you have to be a Russian, that you have to act like Sodom, Amorah. So after the Gopher sends the Malach and stopped off by Avraham Avinu, he lives down the highway from Sodom Amorah, and he's an Ish Gemel Chasod, and he's very kind to others, and then down the block you have Sodom Amorah, and they're miserable. So that's the word, that Avraham Avinu was Mechayev Sodom Amorah. The fact that one person could live in this and that generation and that area of the world under the same circumstances, and he can be normal, and he can keep all the mitzvahs, Menot Mahavera, demonstrated that they could do the same as well. So that's why the Malachim had to pass by the home of Avraham Avinu first in order to be able to punish the people in Sodom. So some interpret.
Can I ask you a question? Why did the Torah call them Anoshim in the Malachim?
They appeared in the form of Anoshim. Avraham Avinu thought that they were human beings. The Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu was in the middle of his galus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, the whole sugya at the beginning of Perek Mefanim, there are 24 prokim in Mishnah Shabbos, and one Perek is Perek Mefanim. The middle of Mishnah, the beginning of Mefanim is the whole sugya about Hachnosas Ochim. So the Gemara praises this mitzvah, G'dayla Hachnosas Ochim Yosem HaKbalas Pnei Ashkina. So here Avraham Avinu is in the middle of the Kabbalas Pnei Ashkina, Hashem appears to him, and then he's mafsik from the Kabbalas Pnei Ashkina to be Mekabal Pnei HaOrchim. What is that idea all about? We assume that human beings, even Nachrim, were created b'selem alekim, and you have to give them the proper covets. If he would have realized that they were malachim, he wouldn't have been mafsik in the middle. This was a test. This was a test for Avraham Avinu. That's how some of Parshim said. This was a test to see will he be mafsik in the middle of the Kabbalah Pnei Ashkin in order to receive the gifts or not. Sometimes a person thinks that he's in the middle of such important ruchnistic things in the Olam HaZayin that he doesn't have time to greet the human beings. So the halacha says otherwise. The Mishnah says that if a person in the middle of reciting Kriyashma, what could be more important than Kriyashma? In the middle of reciting Kriyashma, he has to be mafsik from Pnei HaKoven, from Pnei HaYira. If a person walks in, he has to be mafsik in the middle and say Shalom Aleichem and greet the person. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the Mishnah Gura says that as man is that, we don't do this anymore because the people in Shul know that if you're in the middle of davening, you're not mafsik. But let's say one is in the middle of Kriya Shema, and the others don't realize that he's saying Kriya Shema. And let's say others are not so observant, so they don't understand what Kriya Shema is, and they're going to feel slighted if he's not going to greet them. So that is the din, that he's supposed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema to greet the guest. In the middle of the first greeting, Shema Yisrael Shem Echad, Baruch Shem, the first pitzuki, then you're not mafsik. In the middle of Shema Esrei, that you got nafsik. But the rest of Kriya Shema, that's the halacha. That, in fact, the Gemara in Yuma darshins it on the pasuk the dibarta bum. So the pasuk shab the dibarta bum shifts to chav means you should talk and learn. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The dibarta bum, you should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. You should talk. What do you mean you should talk? The text says that's what it means. If somebody walks in, you have to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. It's a chiyuv to be mafsik in the middle to greet the person, to show cover to the Fasil Adam. I remember on one occasion I was in Brooklyn, so the people I'm staying by said we should go across the street and visit another family that they have a very famous rabbi visiting by them. So we came across the street. The rabbi sees that guests walk in. He's in the middle of saying a Dvarfeira, and it was a long Dvarfeira, and it took him another 25 minutes till he finished. And he didn't even think that it was necessary. Not that there were 100 people there. He was just sitting with a family of three or four people. He didn't think that it was necessary to greet the people who came in specially to see him. I thought it was very rude on his part. I thought Avraham Avinu would have been mafsik from Kabbalah's Pnei Ashchina to say Shalom Aleichem to the guests. This person's Torah was so holy, was so important. He happens to be a prominent person, but I was very surprised. I didn't think it was Derech Eretz at all. I don't know. He didn't know who I was. But even if I just be a goy in the street, I think that's what the Mefarshim say, that they appeared as human beings. In fact, Avraham Avinu thought that they were of the Avodah Zarah. That's why he tells him, "Rachtzu raglechem," they should wash off the dust, because he thought that they were mishtachim lavak shav raglechem. This was a test to Avraham Avinu to see if he'll do the right thing, and he did. He was mafsid from the Kabbalah Pnei Ashchina in order to greet these individuals whom he thought were human beings. If he would have realized that they were malachim, malachim are not created the Tzalem Alekim. Human beings are created the Tzalem Alekim. You have to be mafsid out of Kavod Abrius. You have to be mafsid from Kabbalah Pnei Ashchina to greet the human beings, but not to greet the malachim. So some of Farshim suggest, I remember Rav Soloveitchik said this, Rav Kook has this, but others say the same as well. The Rashi has a comment on the opening pasuk. The Hu Yoshev Pesach HaOhel Kechom Ayom is written Chaser. So every so often you have a drasha in the Gemara, the Medrash, and a word that's Chaser Amolei. How come it's Chaser? How come it's Molei? Like we spoke at 10. El Meyad Hashem Yishikro Osam Yikro Yikadosh. The Gemara has a drasha. Atikro Yosam Elo Atem. Atem Afilu Mizidim. Atem Afilu Mutam. Atem Afilu Shoginim. Every so often you have such a drasha. Here also the Medrash darshans, Hu Yoshev Pesach Oel Tike Shlama. Avraham Avinu wanted to stand up, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "No, you stay seated. Ata Simon Levanecha, you'll be a simon for your descendants. Whenever there'll be a din Torah, the bezna has to sit." What does it have to do with a din Torah? Who is making a din Torah about whom over here? So that's what some suggest. That just like the Gemara uses such an expression that Hillel Mechayiv Aniyim, a Rebbe Mechayiv Ashirim, see here also Avraham Avinu was Mechayiv Zom Vamor. It's not that he was a judge on the Din Torah and he passed in that Mechayiv Misa because they're not like me. But the fact that Malachim came to visit him and they said, look at the difference. They live in the same area down the road from each other, and this man is a decent human being. He treats the Aniyim nicely. He's Mapstik from Kabbalah Pnei Ashchina to be Mekabbalah Pnei Orchim. Pnei Orchim of the Nochrin, of the Avodah Zarah, whom he thought were of the Avodah Zarah. And the people down the block are such Mishumadim, they're such Moshchasim, they're terrible. So that's the expression that we use, that Avraham Avinu was Mechayev the Anshei Sodom. So it doesn't mean that he was a Dayan on the case, but in a certain sense, he passed the judgment on them. His activity, his normal activity, was what made the judgment. The Malachim came and they saw that he acts normally and they don't. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at this occasion we're going to treat you as if you're the judge. So you sit. Even though he wasn't really judging them, but in a certain sense he was Mechayiv them. Okay. Somebody who was rich. Okay. There were a few rich Jews in the history of the world. I remember when I took Hebrew in the college, so my professor said that in Hebrew there's no verb for possession. I own a house. I possess a jacket. There's no verb. You say, yesh li bayis. There exists. Yesh exists, but not for possession. So he said, how come there's no verb for possession? So he says, because the Jews never had too much and we never needed a verb for possession. But there were some of Blas ben Charsim. Okay, there were a couple of Jews who, but for such a muted, we didn't need any verb for possession. the Gemara in Shabbos derives from Avraham Avinu that Gedolah Kabbalas Hachnos Asochem Yes Mehakbalas Bnei Ashkina. The Gemara derives it from Avraham Avinu, the fact that Avraham Avinu is mafsik from his the Baruch Shalom's visit with him. He tells the Baruch Shalom, you wait over here and I'm going to take care of the guests over there. So we derive it from Avraham Avinu. The question is, how did Avraham Avinu know that that's what he's supposed to do? That was the test. But how did he know that that's the right thing to do? So the Velt says that the pshat in the Inyan is the following. The Rambam in Hilchas, he said, Atara draws the four distinctions between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to that of the Shai Neviim. So the major distinction, the four differences, so one of the major differences is that Moshe Rabbeinu is Nevuas Kedaber Ish Al Reyeinu. Like you speak to another person, nobody faints, everybody's there, you're facing the person, you carry on a conversation. And the other prophets, when like Bilam, even though Bilam was on a higher madrega than a normal prophet, he was maybe on the same madrega, something along the lines like Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how the Sifrei says, but nonetheless, that madrega he didn't have, it was no fail, he would collapse. All the other prophets, when they were having his galus from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would lose all of their chushim, they would be like in a trance, they would be in a chaloim, in a chazon, a machazeh, a dream. So Avraham Avinu, when the Shekhinah appears to him, apparently must have been in a trance. Well, Yeshua Pesach was in a trance. Then all of a sudden, he's able to see the human beings coming. How can he see the people coming? So it must be that the Baruch Shalom is indicating to him, he should be mafsik from the Kabbalah's Bnei Shekhinah to go greet the people. Otherwise, he would have been asleep. He would have been in a trance. And he wouldn't have even noticed the fact that the other people came. Maybe this prominent rabbi was in such a trance that he didn't even see that anybody walked into the room. I don't think so. The Malachim, these angels gave notification to Sarah that she's going to have a baby in another year. So someone told me an interesting comment this week at Balabas. Told me an interesting comment. Why did they have to wait a year? If they want to give her a blessing, why didn't she have a baby in 9 months? What do you need the additional 3 months for? So he suggested that right after the Bris Milah, Avraham Avinu became Jewish. And the din is you have to have Havchana. 3 months of Havchana. So that's why they had to wait 3 months. They had to separate for 3 months. And then they had a baby after 9 months. So 9 and 3 in higher mathematics is close. So that's why Kleis Chaya. That's how the Medrash says that this was on Pesach, because it says that when they continued to go on to visit Lot matzah safa by Yechelu, he gave them matzahs. So apparently it was on Pesach, and then a year later Yitzchak Avinu was born on Pesach. That's how the Medrash says.
Really, is that the halacha that a man, woman, or married both convert?
That's what the Gemara says. That's it. Yeah. Machlekes in the Gemara. Machlekes Amarayim. Whether you need Havchana by Nachri, and we are Machmer. Yeah. The original din of Havchana that all the Tanoim agreed to is by an Eishes Ish, a woman whose husband died, a woman got divorced. So then you have to wait after the husband dies. I guess what you have to wait 3 months. To get the Havchim, the Zarish Al Nisha and the Zarish Al Shein, in order to know if she'll have a baby later. Is this the child of the first husband or of the second husband? And that the Gemara says is a loitlu. That the Gemara says, even if the woman is 95 years old and we know that she's not pregnant, even if the husband was in prison, even if she was sick in the hospital, even if they were separated because they weren't getting along, there was no shalom bais, even if all of the above, the Gemara says, even if Eliyahu Anovi comes, and I feel Eliyahu Eliyahu will say that the woman is not pregnant, still, yeah, it's a loitlu grabbanan, the Pashup Shatim, it's a loitlu grabbanan, you have to wait the 3 months. That's the Pashup Shat of the Gemara. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he finds that it's not a loitlu grabban. He says, the Gemara says, even if she's 95, even if he's 105, even if she was in prison, he was in prison, she was sick, he was sick, the Gemara has a list of 15 things, and says, Ati liyo beliyo. But it's not a loitlu. It's not a loitlu. So he says, therefore, let's say the woman got a get from a husband. But the rabbi who gave her the get was a faker, he was a charlatan. And she didn't know. She went to a rabbi for a get. The rabbi said, okay. And he wrote out a get, and she denied he's supposed to have. The husband asked the Talmud, well, the rabbi was a faker. He wrote out a get and said, hey, you're divorced, and he gave her to her. And then the woman is looking for a shidduch, and then she gets engaged, and she has a wedding date. And then the day before the wedding, she finds out that she's still an Eishes Ish, that she never got divorced. So they quickly get a get from the first husband. So do you have to wait another 3 months? Rabbi Moshe says, no, it's not a loy pluk. This is such an unusual case. He says, more unusual. A charlatan rabbi is more unusual than Eliyahu HaNavi'. So it's a very difficult shuv. Anyway, that's what Rabbi Moshe says. Not. But the Pashup Shad is that by Yeshishish it's a loy pluk, and by Geirin, by Gioris, that's a machloikis amaroi in Yivamis, whether there's a din of Havchona at all, whether you have to wait at all. And we are machmer that there is a din of Havchona. So the Achareinim have a sofik, the Bishmol has a sofik. What if you know that they're not pregnant? What if the woman knows that she's not pregnant? Do you say that it's a loy plug or not? That's a sofik in the Bishmol. And the Dogel Mervav and the later Achareinim they come to the Maskona that it's not a loy plug. By Gioris it's not a loy plug. And then Chaschinach has a Rambam and Hilchus Maloch and Marai from Rambam that it's not a loy plug. What's the Bir HaDover? How come by the Yeshus Ish? It's a loyplug, and by Gioris it's not a loyplug. So it could be the following. The Gemara darshins this inyan of Havchonek, the Lahavchin ben Zarish Elishan, the Zarish Elishan, from a pasuk in Chumash, that you want to know who the father of the child is. So the Pnei Yeshua says on that Gemara, the Pesachet Shuv and Ebenezer quotes the Pnei Yeshua, who comments on that Gemara that it's only an Asmachta, it's not a real drasha. The Gemara didn't mean to say that it's a real dinda, right? So it's only an Asmachta with the Rabban. But with respect to the Havchana by Gioris, that could be that's already a din d'oraisa. In order to know whether the child is from the first husband, the second husband, what's the difference? To know who gets the Yerusha. Who should get the Yerusha? To know Kibbutz, or to know whether he's a Kohen or Levi or Israel. I don't know. So maybe the Pnei Yeshua said that's only with the Rabban. But in order to know whether the child is Hairasa Bigdusha or Hairasa Shalom Bigdusha, maybe that's a more important thing, and maybe that's already there, I said. Maybe that's included in the mitzvah of, that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggests, maybe it's included in the mitzvah of Kidashtoi. Kidashtoi is a pasuk by Kohanim, and Pasha said more. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Kidashtoi, Kislechem Alakech Uhum Makri, maybe that pasuk means you should preserve the Yuchsin in Klal Yisrael. Not only the Yuchsin of Kuhuna, Leviyah, Mamzeris, in order to know who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer. Maybe that's a broad mitzvah deraisa. So maybe that's what he suggests. Maybe that's a din deraisa, that a havchana by a giyore should be a din deraisa. If so, then we can understand a little bit this svar lachalik, because takonas derabban, xeris derabban, they're usually made as a loytul. Dinim deraisa usually not made as a loytul. You have a list, Rabbi Yisrael Fengel, as a long list of all the dinim deraisa that seem to be loytul deraisa. But still, usually a din deraisa is not a loy pluk. So it could be that's why by Gioris we pass from Halacha that it's not a loy pluk. It's interesting in the tshuvas of the Sridei Yesh, so he has tshuvas that were written before the war and tshuvas that were written after the war. So the tshuvas written before the war, he was machmer by Havchana, by Gioris, even if the woman is obviously pregnant. So you know that the Zera is Nizah Shalom Bigdusha. So right in the Ksav HaGeiris, we will megar the woman and she's highly pregnant and it's, and she'll have a child within the next couple of months, it'll be known that child will be a Hairasa Shalavik Dusha. That's big Dusha, five picks, right? So what's the problem? So there's original tshuvas that were written before the war, he was Machmer. Then in the tshuvas that were written after the war, in the later years, when the Otzer Apostkin was already underway, so he already had this, Otzer Apostkin was done without computer. It's like a little bit like a computer works. So he already had access to the Otzer Apostkin, so he writes, he looked in the Otzer Apostkin, and they say that it's not a light plug, so can you? So let it be like that. That it's not a light plug. That's how it's assumed today. That it's not a light plug. By Gioris, it's not a light plug. As the Malachim are on their way to go to Sodom to destroy the city, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hamchas ani mi Avraham asher ani oseh. Am I going to keep it a secret from Avraham Avinu? So the Medrash has a comment on this pasuk. Am I going to keep it a secret from Avraham Avinu? He knows all of my secrets. He knows all the dinim Avraham Avinu was able to figure out on his own. Kiyem Avraham Avinu kol ha-tarkul ad shelo nitna. That's how the Gemara says the last daf in Maseches Kiddushin. And then the Medrash says, how did he figure out who told him all the dinim, all the mitzvahs in the Torah? And the Medrash says, somehow he could figure out intuitively. Kloyos yoatzos. His intuition told him what all the mitzvahs HaTorah were. And the Medrash has a comment over here. Just Avraham Avinu, he figures everything out on his own. He can even figure out the dinim that him is chatshim b'chol yom in the Bezna Shalmayla. The Medrash has an expression that the Bezna Shalmayla, they sit and they learn, and the Machadish new dinim every day. So Avraham Avinu is able to figure those out too. Not only is he able to figure out the old dinim from the past, so I can't keep a secret. I'm chasanim Avraham, I can't keep any secrets from him. He's going to figure it out anyway, so I better tell him now. It's an interesting lashon that the Medrash has. The Bezna Shalmayla, the whole idea, the Bezna Shalmayla has his Mechadish dinim every day. So it's not so terrible that the Bezna Shalmayla has the right to be Mechadish. The Bezna Shalmayla is Mechadish. So we're just Mechavin to what they're saying. If a person is Mechavin Lamita, Mechavin to what the Bezna Shalmayla is saying. Then the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch is not going to keep it. Pasuk doesn't say the way the Medrash says. Pasuk sounds like a different explanation. Is it proper for me? Is it there are cherets for me to keep it a secret? He's my partner in business over here. He's such a tzaddik, and he teaches his children Yerushalayim, Mitzdokah, Mishpat, and it's not there cherets. It's not there cherets that I should keep the secret. That's how the Pshut Shal Mikra says. The Medrash gives a different spin over here. The Medrash says, should I keep a secret? I can't keep a secret. He's going to figure it out. Just like he figured out all the dinim, he can even figure out the dinim hamaschatshim. But the Pasuk says a little differently. The Pasuk says, Ki Yedaitiv, I love him. Ki Yedaitiv. Because he instructs his children to keep all the mitzvahs as well. So the Chafetz Chaim points out that people make a mistake. They think that the mitzvah of Chinuch is only with the Rabbanon. The Gemara says that Chiyuv Chinuch is only with the Rabbanon. The Pasuk says that the Chiyuv Chinuch is Deraisa. So normal, if a person really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos that he lists off all the mitzvahs. So he lists in the beginning of the mitzvahs essay, the after Asa Hashem Alkecha, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you demonstrate your love? Doesn't just mean Chodesh Halvavos. How does one demonstrate his love? It's the Chodesh Halvavos as well. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Yuma, the after Asa Hashem Alkecha, she yehei shem shamayim nisayiv al yadecha. You have to do things to see to it that others will love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that? So the Rambam writes, a mashal, if a person loves a bas of a dog, so he wants to praise that person in public and to get everybody else to like him. Like all the guys in the kaila when they first get married, so they invite over all the friends to see what a wonderful balabasta they married, and she cooks so well and she keeps the house so neat and clean and so on. He wants to show off, he wants everybody else to, not to get to love his wife, but to respect his wife. So too, over here, if a person really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he doesn't keep it a secret. They'll praise, that's how the Rambam writes, they'll praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in public in order that everyone else should respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehei Shem Shamayim, Misayiv Al Yodecha. So that's what the Pasuk says here. Avraham Avinu loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Rambam writes, the Navi Yishai calls Avraham Avinu Avraham Ohavi. Pasuk in the end of Yishai, Avraham Ohavi. In what sense was Avraham Avinu Ohavi? So the Rambam writes there in the Sefer HaMitzvos, HaNefesh Asher Asa Bechara. He was preaching to the masses that they should all recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of worshiping Avodah Zarah. He says the Rambam smashed all the Avodah Zarah, and he wanted everyone to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the way he demonstrated his love. So if a person really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to transmit your feelings to your children. First to your children, then we'll worry about the rest of the world. So Avraham Avinu was apparently a good public speaker. So he was a big pioneer, so he went around tumbling by all the other Avodah Zarah. But at least by your own children, if a person does not mechanech his own children, he doesn't transmit the Yirat Shamayim to his children, it means that he doesn't really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote a lot about this. He was writing at a time that there were secular schools in Europe, and the Jews were allowing their children to go to secular schools and not giving them a Torah education. So he says, what kind of Avos Hashem do they have? So he writes that the din of Chinuch HaBanim is certainly a din there, right? So the Pasuk praises Avraham Avinu because he's mechanech his children. Mitzvah Avos Hashem is one of the Tariag mitzvahs. What the Gemara says, that Chinuch is only the Rabbanim, that's a different thing. Chiyuv Chinuch, that you have to have the child shake a lulav before Bar Mitzvah, that's only with the Rabbanim. In our Torah, there's a Chiyuv Chinuch. You have to train, you have to tell your child, in another couple of years you're going to be Bar Mitzvah, and after Bar Mitzvah, this is what you have to do. After you're Bar Mitzvah, you're going to have to fast on Yom Kippur. That's the din d'oraisa. Explain all the din. Before Bar Mitzvah, that you force the child to fast, the practice, that's only Midrabbanan. But that you have to explain to him all the mitzvahs HaTorah. to transmit me this Tavis and Yerush HaMayim and everything. That's certainly a din deraisa. What does the expression mean? Mishamru derech Hashem, they will follow the path of Hashem. So the Rambam has his comment in Hilchas Deis. He says that there's a din, v'halachta v'drocho. That's the Rambam considers that a major mitzvah. Man was created b'tzelem alakim, so he should retain, he should preserve that tzelem alakim. So v'halachta v'drocho, you should preserve all the midas of elikus that you have. So what are the midas of elikus? So the Rambam says you have to study Tanakh in order to know. The Tanakh describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, so we'll know what the midas of elikus are. So what did he come up with after studying the Tanakh? So the Rambam says he came to the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an extremist. He's a centrist. So the Rambam says to go with Derech HaMamutza, that's Derech Hashem. So the Rambam quotes this passage, Yishamu, Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is the Derech HaMamutza. How did he know? Where? So he says that's what it says in the Midrash. One of the Jewish thinkers had an attack against the Rambam. Everybody attacks everybody. So they attacked the Rambam, that the Rambam took it from the Greeks. This idea not to be an extremist, to go in the middle of the road, the golden mean, yeah. Got it from the Greeks. It could be that terminology he got from the Greeks, the Shvil Azov, and Derech HaMamutza could be the terminology, but the concept he got from the Gemara. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes has a whole essay where he defends the Rambam from this attack. And he says, no, it's in the Gemara, it's in Chazal in many places. One of the many places is the comment that the Gemara makes on the Nazir, that the Nazir is really doing something improper, that he doesn't want to drink wine and he doesn't want to go to funerals and he's not going to take a haircut, he becomes such an ascetic. And Tana says on Hashachot Ala Nefesh, one Tana says that the Nazir is Nikra Chayte because he becomes such an extremist. So why does he do such a narish thing? So the Chazal say that the parsha of Nazir appears right after the parsha of Sota. Haroi Sota b'kelchula yazer atzmi menayayin. So the Rambam quotes that. If you live in a generation where there's a lot of preachers, and then you have to go to the extreme. If you live in a generation where the people are violating Gezel all the time, you have to go to an extreme. Whenever the people are violating in one direction or another, then you have to go to the other extreme in order, in the end, to fall back in the middle. So the Rambam understood from all those Gemaras that that's not the... The preferred Derech Hashem. The preferred Derech Hashem is the Derech HaMamutza. And to go in the extreme is only once in a while. Once in a while is taka necessary. Once in a while the Rambam himself. Once in a while Dr. Maimonides himself gives a prescription that's what you have to do. Sometimes you can't go in the center. The pasuk quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as using an expression, Erden of the era hakitza akosa haboi lai osu kolo below a door. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go there to the earth. I'm going to go down to the earth. If God is in the heaven above, He's going to go down to the earth to see if the reports are correct. He reads in the newspapers that there's all kinds of things going on. So He's going to go down to see if it's really true. What kind of a lotion is that going to go down? He sees in the heaven everything. What? He needs a newspaper. You have to check if it's true. So it's hichtiv bi'atzmo. It's not 100% accurate. It's not a lie. He's not going to look into it. But what do you use such a lotion? Erdan of the era. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Tanchum. It's Havacha. To teach the Dayanim. Limid le Dayanim shaliyiv sukodin in the first of the Berea. You have to have Riyas HaMaisa. Rashi says the same expression appears by the Dora Floga early on Chumash. And Parshas Noach says the same. Erden of the era. The Gemara has this taka as halacha. It's not only in Din and the Farshis. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Tanchuma, limit the Dayanim that they shouldn't pass in Din and the Farshis. The Sivas shows from the Gemara that it's a Din and Din of Amidus also. The Gemara has a Din of there is a halacha of Riyas HaMaisa. Halacha requires that the bezin cannot paskin any whenever you need a bezin to paskin. If you're paskining on basa becholav, it's not a function of a bezin. That's how you rasa chacham. You don't need riyas hamaisa. But if you're paskining on mamonis and the fashas or davish b'yervo, then halacha requires riyas hamaisa. The pasuk says in the parshas Vayikra, oro o yada im lo yagid v'nasa avaynoi. So what's the significance of the expression oro o yada? Either the witnesses saw this, or they know on their own. How do they know they have Ruach HaKodesh? So we discussed the other day, it's ABCD below Yisrael. It's possible to have ABCD below Yisrael. So why does it have to bother to say Oro, O Yoda? You mean either Riyah Mamish or ABCD below Yisrael. But the ABCD below Yisrael also needs Riyah. I mean, I saw something, I didn't see the act itself, like we were talking about the case. I saw the two people walk into the room and they were both healthy, and I saw them come out of the room a half an hour later, and one of them was all beaten up, and then I didn't see anybody else in the room. So you didn't know, even though I really didn't see Reuven beat up Shimon, but what I saw leads me to understand that Reuven probably beat up Shimon. So that's called Eidus Yudia Bala Eidus Ria. Sometimes it's a very good Eidus, it's even good to serve as Eidus in Kiyam HaDavar for Kiddushin. Sometimes it's not such good Eidus, it depends how strong the idea is it's the, if it's a big house with 100 rooms, so they don't know, maybe there are 100 people hiding in the house, but if it's one little room and it appears to them and they went into the room later, it doesn't seem that there's anybody else there and they didn't see anybody walk out the back, so then it's a much better Riyas, then it's much better. So the din is that you always have to have Riyas HaMaisa, either Riyas HaMaisa and Mamish, or you have a Riyah, it's considered clearly you had Riyas HaMaisa. So the Rashbam writes in the end of Avodah Basra, the Gemara has a din that if the Eidim were Pasel Eidus B'Shas Riyas HaMaisa, and then B'Shas HaGadah, they're kosher, that at the time of Riyas HaMaisa we were married to two sisters. And then later on someone gets divorced, or someone dies, one of the wives dies, and we're no longer brothers-in-law. So the Gemara says, if B'Shas Riyas HaMaisa, the Gemara quotes a price, if B'Shas Riyas HaMaisa, we were private. If Chilos of Epsul, the Sofer B'Hechshir, so the Gemara says it's no good, the Eidim Apostles, we cannot accept their testimony. Why? So the Rashbam says it's based on this Gzeres HaKosov Oro O Yoda. Gemara never says how you know. So the Rashbam says based on the Pasuk Oro that the Halacha requires a Chalashem of Riyas HaMaisa. Not dumb. If he didn't have Riyas HaMaisa, how's he going to know? What does he have Riyas HaKodesh? How's he going to know if he Riyas HaKodesh? No. The Halacha says it has to be Riyas HaMaisa. And the Halacha says, the Mesivis points out, that Riyas HaMaisa has to be either Riyas Eidim or Riyas Bezdin. The original Pasuk is Oro O Yoda, Riyas Eidim. And then the Gemara makes a Kal V'Chaimer. If Riyas Eidim is good, that's transmitted to the Bezin, it's a Kal V'Chaimer if there's a Riyas Bezin. What if there's neither Riyas Bezin nor Riyas Eidim? Let's say the Gemara says, Ra'ul Balayla. The Bezin saw the event at night, and there's no Kviyas Yeshiva's Bezin Balayla. So they didn't constitute a Chal Hashem Bezin Balayla. Then when they want to judge the next day, they don't go and testify that this is what they saw. They're going to pass them based on what they know. So there's 100% Riyas HaMaisa. They know what happened because they saw with their own two eyes. But Al-Tidin, Halacha says there was no Riyas HaMaisa. There was no neither Riyas Eidim. You didn't have the formality of Riyas HaMaisa. Neither did you have Riyas Eidim, nor did you have Riyas HaDayanim. Because when they saw at night, Ruul Balayla, they don't constitute a bed. So the Gemara says they cannot judge. The Gemara says they cannot be done. So the Nesivis says, Kasha, why not? What's the problem? So we see from that Gemara that it's a halacha, we require a formal act of Riyas HaMaisa. But that's only when it's a Bezin Paskin. Not only Din in the Farshis, even Din in Mammon, even in Kibbush HaFarshis. Whenever the Bezin wants the Paskin, then you need a Riyas HaMaisa. What if it's not? What if it's Issa the Hetta? Then there's no halacha that you need Riyas HaMaisa. As long as you know. What if you take an oath through Ruach HaKodesh? That's the question. Can you paskin based on knowledge that you know through Ruach HaKodesh? That's the question. It says later in the Sedra that when Avraham Avinu went to Gror, Avimelech Melech Gror took his wife, and then the Baruch Shalom tells him, Hashav Eshu Surish Ki Novihu, give him back his wife because he's a Novi. What kind of an expression is that? It is not a Novi. If I take someone else's wife, I don't have to give back, only if he's a Novi. Very strange. So there's a tshuva in the Tshuvas HaRamor where he has, I think the Ramor has this interpretation. If he wouldn't have been a Navi, he probably wouldn't be able to remain with his wife. He would have to be concerned. Maybe she was an Eshis Isha Zinsa is Asura L'Bnei Noach. That's the question. The Din of Saita applies to B'nei Noach. That's a Psachidish. It's a very big Kiddush. The Pashtus is that the Din of Saita only applies to Israel. If you have a Nochri married to a Nochri and the wife is Mizana with someone else, so there's an Einish Misa. But the Pashtus is that there's no Din of an Eshes Tishes Zinsa Asura Alban. But some Achrenim write like that, that there is a Din. There is such a Din of of Satan. So that's, I think, the Ramon, the Chubas writes like that. He knows Benavua that his wife is not Mizana, and therefore she's Mutera Selah. So therefore, give him back his wife, and he will take her back. He will continue to live with her. So I think the Klichemdo on that Pasuk has a whole Arichas. If I'm not mistaken, I think he quotes this Chubas of Ramon. Then he has a whole discussion where he quotes Poskim who talk about this topic. Is Yediyah. If a person ascertains facts of the case based on Ruach HaKodesh, can you rely on the Ruach HaKodesh to Paskin Halacha? There was one famous case with the Baal Shem Tov and the Nadi Yehuda. There was a period of time that the Baal Shem Tov and the Nadi Yehuda lived in the same village before the Nadi Yehuda moved to Prague. They were distantly related. I forgot already exactly how. I think Mrs. Yehuda was a cousin, some kind of a cousin to Rabbi Tov by Shem Tov. So the Nadi Yehuda was very opposed to Hasidismus, and he didn't want to have anything to do with the whole movement. But his daughter, he had a single daughter, used to visit every so often by the Baal Shem Tov, and she kept it a secret from her father. She was afraid the father would kill him. So on one occasion when she visited the Baal Shem Tov, this is the story that they have been to, one occasion she visited the Baal Shem Tov, in the middle of a conversation about something, he stood up and he ripped his jacket and he sat down. And she had nothing to do with what they were discussing at the time. And she wrote it down later on exactly what the date was and what the time was. And she hoped that somebody could figure out what in the world that was all about. So a month or two later, the news came to their little village in Poland that exactly that time and that day, Dora Chaim HaKadosh passed away in Eretz Yisrael. So she understood that he was ripping kri over the passing of Dora Chaim HaKadosh. So she went to her father and she revealed to him the truth that she was going all the time to visit by the cousin, by the Baal Shem Tov. She never wanted to tell him because she thought that he would get angry, but she wants the father to know that he clearly has Ruach HaKodesh because he ripped Kriya. We just heard today that the Ruach HaKodesh passed away at that time, and he ripped Kriya. I was sitting talking, I stood up, he ripped Kriya. And he sat down. So then Yehuda had his given answer. He didn't hold from this whole Chassidus. So he put on a stern face, and he said that he was Oivram Bal Tashchis, because the Halacha says you only rip Kriya if you're there, or if you hear from an Eid Echad. It says in the Torah that if an Eid Echad says, you believe in Eid Echad. We spoke about it the other day, why you don't need Shnei Eidim. So he says, either if you're there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama, or you hear from an Eid Echad. If you know with Ruach HaKodesh, you're not allowed to rip Kriya. So somebody who was there went back and they told the Baal Shem Tov what the Nevi Yehuda said, that he was Oivram Bal Tashchis. So he said, what do you mean? I was there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. So the Klichemda, I don't think he quotes that story, but he quotes Paskin who discuss on this Pasik. Hashi Veis V'Sha'ish Ki Novihu, what's the Halacha? Can you Paskin and Nisa Veheta based on Ruach HaKodesh? But in whenever you need a Bezmin to issue the Pesach, that for sure, no Ruach HaKodesh helps. You gotta have Dafke, Rias HaMaisa.
Well, don't you see from that discussion though that any other types of knowing without Rias HaMaisa Dafke, like a real camera or something like that, would also might also be acceptable?
Yeah, well, if it's a case where you don't need Bezdin, so you don't need Riyas HaMaisa, so then Pashto says any form of idea would be good.
Right. So
any form of idea would be.
You need a Bezdin today.
You need a Bezdin. Halacha requires a formality of Riyas HaMaisa, either Riyas Eidim or Riyas Bezdin. Like Tishmik Delamiria, Riyas Bezdin is better than Riyas Eidim. But if it's not, I'll be Riyas HaMaisa, then it's not acceptable.
Even if you know that there would be circumstantial evidence.
I think so, yeah. Re'u Balaila, the Bezin Mamas saw with their own eyes. They know 100%. So the Allah says that they can't judge. They can serve as Eidim to tell another Bezin. The other Bezin will judge.
Do you feel that it might be problematic to learn out from this Pasuk that you could have this Pasuk was from Sotah that Avram could do it because he's a Navi and he could still be married to her? Because generally we are in the virus Sotah anyway, if they're like by Hashem saying that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he maybe Seich is different because the Torah promises a miraculous dira. Could also be. Could also be. When Avraham Avinu is mispower for the Anshi Sdom, even though they were so wicked, he felt that you have to have Rachmanis on everybody. Racham Abal Kol Masad, even on the Rishon. So he keeps on davening, praying for them. And each time he davens, he excuses himself has to give an apology to the Baruch Shalom. What right do I have if you already made up your mind you want to kill all these people that deserve punishment? That's a chutzpah on his part. Each time he apologizes. So one of the times he says, in the beginning he says, Anochi Ofer Vaifa. So the Gemara says how great the Maila of Anova is. Avraham Avinu was rewarded for the expression that he used, Ofer Vaifa, that his descendants were given a mitzvah of Ofer and a mitzvah of Vaifa. Humility is a very difficult thing to come by. Mar points out that B'chol Mokh Mishat Amotzi B'divos Hashol HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Anta Amotzi Am Lesonusoi, that that's one of the major, if not the major aspect of a Halachta B'drachav, to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch, to go in the Midas HaNova. And the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Pirkei Avos, as well as in the Yara Hazok and Hilchas Deis, quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says Rabbi Levitis Yishyavna Oimer Miyod Miyod Hebishpal Ruach. The Rambam writes that that's the exception to the rule. Normally, the Tanoim would tell us to go b'derech hamamutza, not to go in one extreme or the other. And when it comes to midas anava, when it comes to midas agayva, you have to be misrachek to the extreme. It has to be miod miod. It means it should be, a person should be an extremist in the area of midas anava. That's a question exactly the nature of that din. The Rambam himself in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes that that's only a gzeirah derabbanan. Just like we used to thinking of Gzeiras the Rabbanon in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Atos HaBecholov and in Orach Chaim, you have in Yerideh, you have Gzeiras the Rabbanon. So the Ramamats, you have Gzeiras the Rabbanon in the area of Midas as well. The Ralach the Bedroch of Zidin, like all the Dinim. And the Ramam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, this is Gzeiras the Rabbanon. The fact is, Lech HaMishnah has a steer in the Ramam in Hilchos Deis between Perak Aleph and Perak Beis. In Perak Aleph and Hilchos Deis, when the Rambam is describing this Derech Hashem, the Pesukim, the Derech HaMamutza, the center, the Shvil Azov, so the Rambam gives you Mesholim. So one of the Mesholim is a person shouldn't be extremely arrogant, it shouldn't be extremely humble, it should go the Derech HaMamutza in the middle. Then in Perak Beis he writes that Anova is a guy Anova is exception to the rule Miod Miod Hevish Val Ruach. So it's the mamash a contradiction between Perak Aleph and Perak Beis. And Lech HaMishnah is the Kasha, and he has no teret. So the Yosameach writes on that Lech HaMishnah, look in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Pirkei Avos and you'll see the answer. The answer is the Rambam writes explicitly. Perak Aleph is what the Din Derais is. In our Torah you have to go B'derech HaMamutza by Gai Ben Anova as well. In Perak Beis the Rambam is writing Gzeirah Derabbanan. The Rambam writes Miyod Miyod Hevish Val Ruach as Gzeirah Derabbanan. But others hold like the Rambam's pshat, but they don't agree with that has, but the Chayei Yodam thinks that that by Anova this is an exception to the rule on the level of Deraisa, not just the Gzeirah Derabbanan, that it's hard to tell. It's hard to judge where the Derech HaMamutza is. The Chayyodim in the Hagdomah to the Zichru Teres Moshe writes that he thinks that this is a Din Deraisa. He says that when you look in Tanakh, you find a Kadosh Baruch Hu being described as doing opposite things. He's angry and he's happy and he's sad and he's cheerful. It's all such different contradictory moods. So it's understood the way to go b'halach to b'drachav is to go b'derech hamamutz, to go in the middle of the road. But you never find a Kadosh Baruch Hu described as being bal gaivu. The whole mock mishat the most is glossed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu shamat hamotz hamus never have. I have psukim mashir al Hashem ki goy go. Shem al gay is lovish and so on. So he says that the Targum Unkelus is that reinterpreted those psukim and it doesn't mean that at all. So he claims, the Chayyodim claims that din in the Mishnah, not like the Rambam says, that din in the Mishnah may be a din deraisa. Miyod miyod hevish vavar. Anyway, Avraham Avinu was quite an honor. He said, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. In the later generations, Ofer Ve'efer at least is something. The later generations, Moshe and Aaron say, Menachnu Mo. So the Gemara says that's even a higher madrega. Save an achnumah. It's hard to have an achnumah. It's hard to have off of Eifer, but at least we have to try to work on it.
The color itself is the highest. Most of all of the color. It's the highest value a human being can have. It's the greatest strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Megillah Tehillim on Perk's Sadi Yimel says that that Hashem Rabash, that pasuk says that that's okay by Hashem. He just said that if Hashem, to describe how great Hashem is, it's okay because he's a Rabbanu Shalom. but by Basar Adam, it's like the Ramban describing here from Ramban, it's like stealing the Bush Malchus for a Basar Adam here. And the Tehillim says you don't have to reinterpret those psukim, you can accept them to Pshuto. They say that's only for the Ribono Shel Olam.
I think what probably was bothering the Chayei Adam is that we always say v'halachta b'drocha, we have to go in the ways of Hashem, and the way to know what are the derech Hashem is, the Rambam says, to look in Tanakh. So that's the question. If you find the Tanakh described, and sometimes it says, sometimes you have hichbid b'atzmo, it says v'yered Hashem liras erdan ol yered v'yered Hashem liras is hamigdash habonim b'nei Adam. But sometimes it describes that Ribono Shel Olam is doing things which are not 100% accurate in order to teach us limud l'dayanim, in order to teach us it. That's what was probably bothering the Chayei Adam. How can the Pesukim in Tanakh say Shem El Geiz Lovish and so on, if the whole Tanakh describes activities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to teach us how we should act? So this is going to be misleading. So that's what prompted him, perhaps, to quote the Targum Onkelos, who said a little different shot there. Anyway, all the prayers of Avraham Avinu didn't help, because there were no 50 tzaddikim. There wasn't even a minyan. They didn't even have a minyan, a daily minyan. Some Shabbos Yom Tov had, but they didn't have a daily minyan. So the pasuk says that the city was destroyed. It says Vashem Himtir Al Sedom Va'Al Amorah. Gofer's Reish. Where is that? In chapter Yutes, pasuk Chav Dalet. Vashem Himtir Al Sedom Amorah. Gofer's Reish. Meyes Hashem in Hashemayim. So Rashi comments, "Kamach Mishnema Vashem Hu U Beis Dino." If you have a Vav HaChibur, Pasuk Pshat is it's a continuation from the previous pasuk, and this is what happened afterwards. Vayomer Elov, this is what happened. That's what happened. Vashem Himtu. So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabba. No, whenever it says Vashem Hu U Beis Dino, what exactly does that mean? So I saw the Chidor in one place quotes from the Arizal a comment. Based on the pasuk in Eicha, that Vipielion lo seitzei harois v'hatoif. So they read the pasuk Vipielion lo seitzei harois, that the Tanakh will never describe the Ribono Shel Olam as doing something awful. The Tanakh describes the Ribono Shel Olam as doing all the wonderful things. Like it says, different psukim, it says in Bereishis, it says Hashem created the light, and then the Mela there was darkness at night. It doesn't say He created darkness. He created light, and the Mela there was darkness. Hashem, the Shem Hashem is only will only appear in Tanakh in connection with positive things, not in connection with negative things. So Akum over here, it says that Hashem punished the city of Zom HaMar, He destroyed the whole city. So that's why the Medrash comments by Hashem Hu Beis Din. I mean, the Bezel Shalmaila, doesn't it? He was one of the members of the Bezel, but it wouldn't say that Hashem did it on His own. He says that this expression of the Medrash Hu Beis Dinoi is always used in connection with the Tanakh describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing negative things. That's what he quotes from the Arizal. I don't know, what does he do with the pasuk Hashem Pakad Sarah? And I think the Medrash says over there also Hu Beis Dinoi. So that was a positive thing. So why do you need Hu Beis Dino? I don't know. But that's what the Chidor quotes from the Arizal. Pardon me? No, not creation. He consulted. Yeah, no, it says he consulted with the Bezdin to teach us that we should consult. But then it says that the Ribono Shel Olam created me. I don't know if the Medrash comes to Hu Beis Dino. Just says he consulted with the Malach. But here it says that the action was ki'ilu done by Hu Beis Dino.
How come the
Anshin and Stom Ramon were only punished for never been ordered by Chamehev? Not at all. They didn't have any other Ramon. Mm-hmm. It sounds like perhaps that they were tzaddikim in Ramon. They ate Tlat Kosher, they didn't mean any Yev Menachai, and they were careful about Bichas Hashem. Yeah. Only on the Ben Ormachavir. That's how the Nevi'im speak about Zom HaMor, that they were awful in the area of Bin Mahaver. Apparently Bin Adam Lamar, they were great. That's that someone once said interpretation, Anshi is going Roy Mahatoim La Hashem Yod. They said, Anshi is going Roy Mahatoim Bin Adam Mahaver. But La Hashem was Yod. They were holy, holy tzaddikim. They were the ultra, ultra orthodox. La Hashem Yod.
Rashi say both. they were bad against not only the Vera, that's what somebody said.
Yeah.
The Mabon.
Yeah. But that's the question. The Nevi'im, when they speak about the punishment of Zama Amar, it's said because they didn't give to Amiyim,
right.
They were decent, they had Mahavera, so somehow the Benadam Amakim was left out. Rashi does quote that they were both.
But that's because the shares is a good word of the Fatsky, the Fessig, the Rosetta, the Hashem is more
Makbid.
And if there are Mahavera, where the Rosetta is because of the Benadam Amar, Rashi says the British Rabbit, the Fessig, the Mahavera, the Fessig, at least by the
door
of
Flugger,
they had
been on the Havera. Mm-hmm.
So Hashem is more
Matzvei
than
the Havera. So it destroys the whole society, The pasuk says, "Vayi b'shachei salakim esarei akikor." When Hashem was destroying these cities, "Vayi skar alakim es Abraham." "Vayi shalach eslot mitocha hafechach hafoch esar mashayash shebein loy." It was only in the schus of Avraham Avinu that Lot was saved. If not for the fact that he was a nephew of Avraham Avinu, he would have also been destroyed. And then the next pasuk says that Lot, with his two daughters, went to the mountains, and they thought that the whole world was destroyed. They make a mistake. They thought Avraham Avinu was destroyed, and everybody was destroyed. And they're the only tzaddikim left. The pasuk writes it in a humorous fashion. The only reason why they were needful was in the schus of Avraham Avinu, and they misjudged the whole story. They thought Avraham Avinu was also destroyed, and they're the only ones, and they're the only tzaddikim in the whole wide world. They have to preserve the world. So if we talk nefesh of the whole world, so they had children from their own father. So the Gemara says that they were rewarded, even though they misjudged the whole picture. The mamish violated incest. But still, since they thought that they're accomplishing pikuach nefesh, they were rewarded. So the Gemara says that the bechira was rewarded more so than the tzira, because bishvil shehigdima laila achas, because she was interested in saving the world the day before her sister. The first day the bechira was with the father. The second day the tzira was with the father. So the Gemara says in Bava Kama that the bechira was rewarded more than the tzira. So this is perhaps the basis of the idea. The Gemara has a menachas that did. Let's say someone is a chayla mesuka and the doctors say he needs such and such a meichel. So someone starts running in order to get that meichel. He starts driving to the drugstore in order to get the medication to save the life of the patient. And as he's driving, then the doctor sees the patient got better and he doesn't need anything. And nonetheless, this guy's driving, doing malachas on top of malachas, he's chopping down trees, and he's cooking, and he's shechting, and he's baking, and he's doing malachas, and he comes back. And by the time he comes back later on, he sees that it's not even necessary at all. So he doesn't have to bring a korban chatos for anything that he did. He was mechal Shabbos all along. It's a mitzvah. He gets rewarded, because the het to pikuach nefesh doesn't have to correspond to reality. The het to pikuach nefesh depends on your perception. If you thought that there's a concern of satanas nefashis, and you were running to take care of the bikurach nefesh, so you get rewarded. That's exactly what happened by the two daughters of Lot. They thought that they're saving the whole world. And they still can say that they made a mistake. Yeah, the Marseille does make a difference. That's a discussion in Rishonim, whether the Kof Nefesh on Shabbos is Dorichet Shabbos or Shabbos is Utra. But this is a din that everybody agrees to, that if one was Mechal Shabbos thinking that there's a Chayim on the Sukkah, and then it turns out later on that it was all taken care of, that everything was by mistake. So the Gemara says he doesn't have to bring a Chatos. That's Fakir. I mean, it's Zoriz Veniska. He gets a reward for being Mechal Shabbos. He gets a reward for doing what he thought was an act of the Kof Nefesh. Shabbos, what if it would be the reverse? What if you have a case like this? A guy goes fishing on Shabbos, and he wants to be Mechal Shabbos. You know, he was brought up religious, and he doesn't care, and he's going to go fishing. So he throws a big net in, and then as he's pulling the net out, so it turns out there are no fish today, he pulls out a baby. A baby fell into the river, and by pulling out the net, thinking that he's doing a malacha of catching fish, he saved the baby's life. So would you say that the whole malacha that he did, he drove to the beach and he threw in the net and he carried and everything, would you say? And he kind of pulled out a couple of fish also with the baby. So he did the tzeidon, he did the tilas neshama, he did a whole bunch of malachas. But it also turns out that if not for the fact that he went there, the baby would have drowned, it would have died. And he did the pikuach nefesh. So do you say that pikuach nefesh lifts the isurim In either case, either if your perception was, if you thought that you did Pikuach Nefesh, or if in reality you did Pikuach Nefesh, even though your perception was not so, well, he's saying, no, it all depends on the perception. If you didn't have Kavanas HaGavra, the Shem Pikuach Nefesh, even though in fact you did accomplish Pikuach Nefesh, there's no head of Pikuach Nefesh. That's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbe and Rava, in Menachos, beginning of Perek Avishma. He went lots of dog in the hell of Tinoch, Minayam. He accomplished Pikuach Nefesh, and he didn't have it in mind at all. He didn't have that in mind at all. So that's a machlokes HaMoraim. And we, the Rambam Paskin, is that you have to have Kavanas HaGav. It all depends on perception. It's not that it's either based on perception or based on Metzias of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh all depends on the perception. If he thought he was accomplishing Pikuach Nefesh, then he has the heter, even if he didn't accomplish anything. And if he did accomplish Pikuach Nefesh, but he wasn't intending to, then it doesn't count for anything. Then he has no heter of Pikuach Nefesh. This Lot was quite drunk, the fact that he didn't realize at all what he was doing. So that's why he went down in history, in the history of halacha, as the archetype of a shikir, a shikir shehigil shikusa shalot, who is considered a lav bardas. In order not to be allowed to daven, that's a different thing. The Gemara said this is an error. The Gemara said you have to be a shikir shehigil shikusa shalot. Not to be allowed to daven means if you're so drunk, you're tipsy, that you're not able to be oimid lufnei hamelech. So you're really not supposed to daven. But in order not to be held responsible for any averis that the person does, let's say he did the business transactions, he purchased, he sold, whatever, he got married, he got divorced, so whatever was done under the influence of Shikris, if he was a Gil, Shikris or Shalot, so it's absolutely meaningless. The only thing is that Rambam writes, with Sarkhli Hisyashe Bedover. You have to think about it. So some Achrayim didn't understand. What do you have to think about? It's a Beferish Gemara. The Rambam is not sure what he's passing like the Gemara. So the later Achaim saying, no, it doesn't mean you have to think about it whether the din is correct. So after this Yashi Bedover, to determine was he really Higil Shikusa Shalot, or was he just tipsy? If he's tipsy, but he's not like Lot Mamish, but the other B'shich Lovakuma. He didn't know at all. So that's the Pashtus in the Rambam. It's possible to have such a person, even without being drunk. Let's say a person is on drugs. Also sometimes. So yeah, it's also Tzachlis Yashi Bedover, a person is on drugs. And then he does some actions, so he's not held responsible. He deserves punishment for going on the drugs in the first place, but he can't hold him responsible for the acts that he does under the influence of drugs if he's a Gil Shikusa Shalot, if he's such a degree. Sometimes the drugs just make him lightheaded, and he's laughing, and everything is very cheerful, he's very happy, and he doesn't realize that it's a serious world that we live in. So that's unfortunately a problem. Let's say you have an Eishes Ish Hazinso. And she did it on the drugs, or she did it when she was drunk. So she goes to a bar with someone else, she goes to a restaurant, she's drinking. She knows she's married, she shouldn't be drinking with the other guy, it's not her husband. So she knows she's doing something wrong. But then later on, at the time that she does the act of znus, she's totally drunk. So it depends, if it's takis, shikis, shilgis, shikus, shalot. So it's like an eishes ish enenso. Or if a woman is takis under such the influence of drugs, to the extent that then it's that she doesn't realize that this is not her husband, she forgot that she's married to someone else. So then it's then she's talking not asu ala baila, but it's sochli his yashi bedover. Like it's not so easy to pass with such a shayma.
Because
they don't realize that they're standing before the melech, but it's brought down in Tehillim Arach and Shulchan. He discusses that anyway. Nowadays, people don't have kavanah when they daven. It's almost like the same thing. They'd have kavanah when they daven, but still, they wouldn't appear in front of the melech drunk like that. Still can't daven. Still not allowed to daven. It's not just the problem of kavanah. It's the problem. He's not in state to be Ayimid Lefnei HaMelech.
On the previous subject of Kavana, Kirby Kot, Nefesh, Kirin Adera, the phrase in the Gemara Kedushin of Nachshav Ro'ei Nachadosh Baruch Hu Mekarkel Ha'Nais, that that's only when a person does Nefesh, nothing. Here the person had a Nachshav Ro'ei he didn't do a nice avera, so it's also everyone's misgalim that what he did was a nice tzuach nefesh. So.
No, he did malachas. No, he did. He drove the car and he carried out the nets and he fished and he brought in the fish. He did three malachas there. But he also did. But it turns out in the end that there was Bikrof Nefesh. That's the question. The head of Bikrof Nefesh knocks off the malachas of driving the car and carrying the net and catching the fish. Because that was the Metzius Advar? Because it was Bikrof Nefesh? No, because that was your intention from the very beginning. He didn't intend that. So that's a debate. That's a machlokes. It's Rabbi and Rabbi.
What
does it mean himself? Means he gets drunk. If he makes himself drunk, yeah, why not? He makes himself an eager. Why not?
Because he got drunk, like the Rambam says, the end is to be sincere, to stay away from alcohol, which is present.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gemara does it for Kimo, but Rashi and the Rush would explain that because he's A, Koresh from Akhenaminu, B, then he went to stone, and then even after he left stone, though he was still influenced by the Midos, the stone says, what do you say it's not as serious as one of the Midos is to get drunk? That he learned when he was around Akhenaminu,
The parasha tells us that when Avraham Avinu went to Abimelech, Melech Geror, so he wanted to keep it a secret that he was married to Sarah, and he said that it's his sister, and then Abimelech took her as a wife, and then he was upset at Avraham Avinu. Why didn't you tell me the truth? So Avraham Avinu tells him that he was afraid. Rak and Yiras Elokim Bamakam Hazev Haraguni Al Dvarishti. And there's no Yirah Shamayim, so it's possible to do Ritzicha also. Even though everybody understands that Ritzicha is a terrible thing, but if there's no Yirah Shamayim, it's not rooted in religion, it's just a Midah Taiva, so then you can always figure out a Hetter. Why did he think that Haraguni Al Dvarishti, what, they're going to kill him in order that his wife should be Muteres? Why should they choose to violate Lo Siritzach as opposed to violating Lo Sinof? So there's a famous interpretation here. The Arachaim HaKadosh has this, and the Bar Kinur in his commentary has this on this pasuk. And the Belt says the Pshat, based on the Ran and the end of Yuma. The Gemara says that if a person is sick on Shabbos and the doctors say that he needs some meat in order to keep him alive, and we don't have any meat left, the Shabbos afternoon, no one has any flesh, it says, Shocht on the Chol of Shabbos. A Jew is permitted to Shecht the Behemah, to Shecht the chicken, in order to give kosher meat to the chayla mishum pikuach nefesh. All the rishonim are bothered with the kasha. Why should you shech on Shabbos and violate Shabbos? Yes, get a goy, get some chayka meat from a goy, and violate the veila. The veila is less serious an avera than Shabbos. Shabbos is a chi of skila with a chi of kares, and the veila is only a chi of malchus. The din is machila mosa hakala kal chila. That's taka the sugi in the end of Yuma. Whenever you have to do an aver in order to save someone's life, mishum pikuach nefesh, you have to always try to calculate to do the lesser of the two evils. So shouldn't it be preferable to eat nevela as opposed to violating Chil Shabbos? So the Rosh has a famous answer over there from the Maharam Gutenberg, and the Ran gives this answer. The Ran says if you eat nevela, then every time you eat another kezayis, he'll be in violation of another aver. Another aver is going to eat a few kezayis of meat. So violate a few averes as opposed to Shechita, you'll do one Chil Shabbos. So it's preferable to do one Avera Chamura rather than to do many Averas Kalas. So that's what the Belt says is the interpretation of the Haraguni Al Dvarishti. They'll make a calculation. It's better to violate Lo Siritzach once, even though Lo Siritzach is much worse than Lo Sinof, because if they're going to violate Lo Sinof, which is less, but they're going to keep on violating. Every time he's going to live with the Yeshus, he's going to be in violation again. Right, but they still felt that it's improper to take someone else's wife, and it's improper to murder without Yirah Shamayim. just on a human level, on decency level. But they made a calculation that it's better to violate the more serious violation once than to violate the lesser ones many times. So many hold that we pass like the Ran. That's a shaila. If we pass like the Ran or not.
You say that the name of the community saying Rav or Rav back to your Naslok Hetzalon, that if you hold like the Ran, the Beva 15 times, that after Shabbos, after Yom Kippur, early cases, but then somebody says, what's the Nevela, what's the Ran? But if you do.
I mean, that could be the explanation why it's so.
Yeah, why it's so, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why.
So get so used to it, so it may lead him to violate out there, even when there won't be any to cross after certain things. Could be. Could be that that's the deal.
You want to speak to it,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The previous a person goes to be a bear in Shabbos, and then he says, oh, like my life is my shadow, is that the other thing? I mean, the intent is to do a bear, as he hears that Shabbos when he's got a problem. It's the whole thing here because Malachi Shabbos is put aside. But here, his intent is to live
to catch the fish.
So without Shabbos, so what's the other thing?
That's still the argument, but Lamais and Sofkosof, there was before Knefesh accomplished, and maybe that's removed. Maybe that's the mountain without Kavanah Sagav. No, we assume that you do need the Kavanah Sagav. I'm a pastor, you do need the Kavanah Sagav. That Kavanah Sagav, there's no head to be caught.
That's
the explanation why. Could be? I remember. The Pasuk says that finally after a while the baby was born and named the baby Yitzchak. The Rebbe Shem had told Avraham Avinu on the end of Lech Lecha the baby's name should be called Yitzchak. And then Sarah saw that there was a problem because the half-brother, Ishmael, was Mitzachek. And she thought that this was a very terrible influence on her son Yitzchak. So she said, we have to do something about it. We have to chase away the other child. A person has to be very careful in raising children to watch that they should not have bad influences from other friends. You have to be very careful. Even on adults, you have to be mocked, but certainly more so on children. Children are more influenced because they don't know the difference between right and wrong. You can't just rely that we'll educate the children later. When they'll reach the age of 10, we'll educate them. You have to start educating the child at a very young age. And adults also have to be very careful. Like by Lot, the Pasuk describes that Lot separated from Avraham Avinu. It says, Vayisa Lot Nikedem. And then why did he go to Sodom? He saw Vayar Kikulo Mashkel, Efnei Shachay Sabakim. He says, he's going to make a lot of money over there. He said, there, it's a Gevaldik. It's the greenest part of Eretz Yisrael went over there. And he knew in advance, he's going to make a lot of money, but it's going to be very, very, very secular. Anshisdo. And he chose to live there. That was terrible. Pasuk describes that he made a terrible choice. Even adults, when they get married and they decide where they want to live, they should make up their minds to live in a religious neighborhood, not to live in a Goyish neighborhood, unless they're interested in doing kirev activities. A different story. But they're not interested, if they're not going to do kirev, they're just going to mind their own business, and then it's preferable to live in a religious neighborhood. You have to be careful whom your friends are, because they certainly have influence on people. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Beis that the human nature is to be influenced by other people. Most people are followers. Some people are leaders, but most people are followers, and even the leaders, they're not leaders on everything. The leaders on certain, they have their bugs and the things in their head, they have certain ideas, and everything else they're followers. And if they're not, if they're leaders, they're not followers, then their children are going to be followers, their wife is going to be a follower. So if you live in a neighborhood where the people are not observant, it may have a serious negative effect on you. So the Torah is telling us all these stories that we should be careful where we choose to live. The Torah tells that Avimelech, Aficho's Tzavar, came to Avram and they made a deal that he's not going to start up with him. Why did he make such a deal? It's the Gaza Strip. What you got to do? It's not part of Eretz Yisrael. So the Rashbam has a famous comment on the pasuk that he achar hadvarim ha'ela. You can translate the word dvarim in two ways. Dvarim means diburim, words that were spoken. Dvar means these matters, a story that happened. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin two interpretations. Both of them understand dvarim as diburim, either dvarav shel Satan or dvarav shel Yitzchak. That Yishmael was debating with Yitzchak. Look, I was Moshe Nefesh. I performed Bris Milah when I was 13. You were just a little baby. And Yitzchak says, "No, even if the Rabbanu Shlomo will call upon me to give up my life, I'll do it also." So, after these diburim, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see if it's really true. So according to that interpretation that Rashi quotes from the Gemara, it's really what is the Belakim Nisus Avram? Should say Belakim Nisus Yitzchak. Achad Baruch Shal Yitzchak. It's a test to Yitzchak to see if he's really going to live up to what he had said to Yishmael. It's a little difficult. The Rishonim and the Zohar asked that question. Why did it say Elokim Nisus Avram? Why didn't it say Elokim Nisus Yitzchak? But according to Rashi, Rashi quoted two pshatim from the Gemara, two Amorim. According to the second pshat, it wasn't his sign for Yitzchak. And Achad Ramayla means what happened before with the Bris Mila. That's around 10-15 psukim earlier. The other pshat, also, the first child that Rashi quotes also belongs Acha Hadibur Ma'ele Acha Dvarav Shal Satan, that Avraham Avinu is making all these parties every stage of the way. When Yitzchak had a Bris Mila, he throws a big party and invites everybody with all the speeches. Then it has the Yom Higomelos Yitzchak Bilan, Noch HaParty, and all the parties. He doesn't offer any karbanas. So the Satan complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what kind of a tzaddik is this? He doesn't know that you have to offer karbanas. So the Baruch Shalom said, If we'll call upon him, he certainly will do it. So achar advarim ha'ele means achar hadiburim shel ha'satan. Those are the two pshatim that Rashi has. But other midrashim, that's like Gemara in Sanhedrin, that's Peites. But other midrashim learn achar advarim ha'ele doesn't mean after the diburim, it means after this event, after what happened immediately preceding the agreement, the bris that Avraham Avinu made with Abimelech, Melech Plishtim, Abimelech, Melech Gror. What was wrong with that? So different midrashim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Kasa at Avraham Avinu. What do you make a shutfus with a Nochri for? With a Rasha? What do you have to make a partnership with him for? Stay to yourself. And the Rashbam has his famous Zionistic comment that what did he give away the Gaza Strip to Arafat for? It's part of Eretz Yisrael. Only Yerushalayim is Eretz Yisrael. Only Tel Aviv is Eretz Yisrael. Aza, it says, and the Rashbam quotes, if you look in Sefer Yoshua, it says when they divided the land, the Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim, the five regions with the Plishtim on, were also divided. It's part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. So what do you give it away to the Arabs for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to grizzle Avraham Avinu a little bit, to tease him a little bit, why he did something to, he did an avla, so he put him through this agony, this aggravation of the Akedah. That's what the Rashbam. The Rashbam has it based on the Medrash. Medrash doesn't say that was the Avla. Medrash says the Avla was why he's mishtatef with Nochrim. What is he mishtatef with Rishoyim for? You shouldn't make any shutzus with any Rishoyim. You don't need it. Who told you to make a shutzus with them? They came to speak to you. So say, give them a cup of tea and have a nice day and goodbye. What do you have to make a deal for with the Krisis Bris? And the Rashbam has his spin a little differently. That the Taina was not so much the shutfus with the Nochem, but the giving away. What did he give away the whole Eretz Plishtim for? It wasn't his. He didn't have a right to give it away. The Rishonim point out, really, based on Midrashim, Elokim Nisos Avraham Nisos doesn't necessarily mean a test to see if he's going to pass or fail, what level of Yerushalayim he has. The Baruch Shalom really knows in advance what level of Yerushalayim, but it's like Orim Nisi, Neis. Something Neis al Heharim, Neis means a flag that you lift up on high. But the king Nisos Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to uplift Avraham Avinu, so he gave him this bechina, he gave him this challenge. The Rabbi Shalom knew that he was going to pull through the challenge, but when a person, even if a person is a tzaddik and bright and everything, but if the person is subjected to difficult circumstances, and we know he's got to pull through. When he pulls through, so he improves himself. He even becomes stronger. He has more Yerushalayim and more Amunah, more Bitachin. Let's say, for example, Monday morning, Mishatev Matzlat is going to be a Bechin, a midterm. So I know all the boys are learning. But if there's a Bechin, so then the guys are going to even learn more. So they're going to be challenged. They're going to go through difficulties. It's going to be a Shas HaTzak. They're going to learn more. So it's going to be Lisa. It's going to be elevated. It's not on some of the people it's taka bchina to see if they're learning or not, see if they belong in the shiur. Some guys, I don't know. So for some people the bchina is that you should decide whether you belong in the shiur or not. Maybe you don't know what's going on to see if you're really doing the work. And another people who are learning, you have to take the bchina also, because like Avraham Avinu, even though I know they're going to pass, but when they're challenged and they have to stay up all night long and review, so then they'll become elevated. Punishment, right? Right. The opposites. The Rashbam's pshat is based on the several midrashim that say that it was a punishment for Avraham Avinu achar adlam eila, after he made a bris with Abimelech. So the Rashbam has a slightly different, not because he was mishpatet with Rishayim, because he gave away part of Eretz Yisrael. But the Rashbam, along the lines of the Rashbam, is learning that this was to chep Avraham Avinu, to tease him and to punish him a little bit, to aggravate him a little bit because he did something improper. And most of the Midrashim assume otherwise. Most of the Rishonim do not assume like the Rashbam. It wasn't a punishment. It was to elevate him, to give him difficulty. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us nisyonos in life, he gives us challenges in life, he knows that we're going to succeed and pull through the challenge. And he wants to elevate us, that we should work more and develop more Yirat Shamayim, more Emunah, more Bitochen.
The Rishon says that the Rashbam is Nisyon of Avraham Avinu, and all the portion of Yirat is one of the Nisyon of. So coming back to him with Rashbam, he was not only devoted to explore these signs, and how would he reconcile what is Rashbam to do with these signs?
Something else, that it would have been a different, Rabbi Shlomo would have given him it was a punishment and a nisayon. What? The Rabbi Shlomo could have given him a nisayon that wouldn't be such a harsh one. This was really frightening. So he says this form of a nisayon was chosen as a punishment of Avraham Avinu. It wouldn't have been so harsh if not for the fact that he did enough. The Mefarshim discuss why, the Zohar and the Rishonim discuss why was it Elokim Nisos Avraham, wasn't it a Nisoyin for Yitzchak as well? So they give different suggestions. So many claim, this is a psychological question, which some Mefarshim claim is a Machlek Yisatanoim, they have a Medrash about this. Many claim that parents love their children more than they love themselves. That if it would be a choice between saving one's own, let's say there would be a shasasana, and a parent can either save his own life or save the child's life, so they would prefer to save the child's life than to save their own life. Because they love the children more than they love themselves. So the nisoyin was for Yitzchak and for Avram. But it was a greater nisoyin for Avram than for Yitzchak, because on a part of Avram were calling upon him to shech his son. Part of Yitzchak were calling upon him to give up his own life, so that's also a big nisoyin. But it's less of an nisayon than to give up the child's life. That's one suggestion that many Mefarshim have. And the Zohar has a very fascinating suggestion. He talks about mixing fire and water. He says that Avraham Avinu was always a goody-goody. He's always Isha Chesed, he's a Gemel Chassodim, a Machnes Orchim, and he's Abbas Hashem, he's bubbling over with love to the Rabbanu Shalom, love to his fellow men, and he's inviting everybody in and give you a meal and praise God and thank you, and that's such a goody-goody. This is Tachmamish, everything the Hepech from the whole style of Avraham Avinu. And the Pasuk says in the end, Ati Adaiti Kireli Kimata. Now I see not only do you have a Havas Hashem, Avraham Avi, I see you have Yerushamayim also. So the Zohar uses an expression to represent these ideas. The Zohar uses the expression that Eish represents Yerush Hashem. The person is afraid to burn himself in the fire. And Havas Hashem, he uses the term of Mayim, of water. So the Zohar says, Elokim Nisoyas Avraham, it was a bigger Nisoyan for Avraham than it was for Yitzchak, because Avraham Avinu always had water. He was always Avas Hashem all the time. Chesed and Avraham, lovey dovey, goody goody. And now Rabbi Shimon calls upon him to do something which, if he wouldn't have the Yira Shemayim, if he wouldn't have a Midah Gedol of Yira Shemayim, the Avas Hashem wouldn't lead him to do this. He would not have been able to succeed in doing this. So that's what the Pasuk, Ati Daiti Kireli Kimata. I see that you have a balance. You don't only have Avas Hashem, you have Yira Hashem. But for Yitzchak, it says later, Vayishava Yaakov befachad oviv Yitzchok. Yitzchok's madrega was Yiras Hashem. He always emphasized Yiras Hashem. So for Yitzchok, there was less of an Isoin, because he was always used to the madrega of Yir. And the Zohar says everybody has to have a blend of both. You can't just decide, I want to do Avos Hashem and do all the mitzvahs based on Avos. The other one's going to say, I want to have Yiras Hashem and everything, I'll be able to do all the mitzvahs based on the year. Everyone has to have a combination of both, but there's different degrees. To what extent you're going to have 80% Avos Hashem and 20% Yiras Hashem? It's going to be 80% Yiras Hashem and 20% Avos Hashem, different degrees. That's what the Netziv has an essay in the Meshiv Dovar. Meshiv Dovar is a collection of tshuvas. The one is not really a tshuva, one is an essay. Where he was asked by some newspaper, I forgot already. They sent out letters to different Jewish thinkers. Is it true that there are three branches of Judaism? The right wing, and the left wing, and the centrist? So he says, sure there is, but not the way other people think, that the right wing keep the 613 mitzvahs, the left wing keep nothing, and the atheists and the centrists keep 350 mitzvahs. He says, no, we're talking, they're all keeping all the mitzvahs. They're not keeping any, not keeping some of the mitzvahs, then it's not Judaism, then it's human beings. But they're not Judaism. He says there are three, yeah, there's right wing, left wing, centrist, the balance between the Avos Hashem and the Yiras Hashem. How outgoing are you? You always go to NCSY, you're always doing kirov activities, you're always bubbling over with happiness and joy and lovey-dovey and cheer and so on. Or you're very strict and you're always learning and davening along Shmoneh Esrei and a little bit Ben Adam HaChaver, but not so much. Or do you have a balance in the middle? So he says, those are the three. Yeah, we have it. They're all three are acceptable depending on the person's personality. It has to do whatever fits in with his personality. The Gemara derives in Psochim in the first place, the Gemara derives Halacha from the Pasuk Vayashkem Avraham HaBoker. That's reason magdimim lemitzvah. That if a person has an obligation to perform a mitzvah, he can either do the mitzvah now or later. So why wait till do later what you can do now? Many people have the attitude, why do now what you can do later? So the Torah tells us no. Why? It depends if it's a mitzvah or not. So it's a mitzvah, so you have to do it as early as possible. Vayashkem Avraham HaBoker. So the Gemara says you have to perform Bris Milah at the earliest time. You're not supposed to have a 9 o'clock minyan and then do the Bris Milah at the 10 o'clock. You should do. Not mechayiv that you should make a Vasikin minyan to wake up Mamash so early, but within reason. A person should do within reason. There's a Prima Gadim in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah where he says that if one schedules to have the Bris Milah after Chatzos, that's a violation already of Zvizim Akdim Lemitzvahs. He interprets that that's why there was a shaila in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. They quote a tshuva that the Aruch sent to Rabbeinu Shlomo. Some think that it's Rashi. That Rashi asked the shaila of the Aruch. And somebody, some kind of Rabbeinu Shlomo Yitzchaki. Somebody asked the shaila of the Aruch, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when should you perform the bris? So the Aruch responded, you should do the bris right before Tchiyah Shofar. As we say in the davening, Cholon Abris Avram Akeda Sitzchok. So first you speak of the bris, and then you speak of the Akeda. And the Tia Shefer is Zecha to the Akeda, because according to tradition mentioned in the Medrash, Akeda Sitzchok occurred on Rosh Hashanah. So we say Cholon Abris Avram Akeda Sitzchok to do the bris milah right before you do the Tia Shefer. So the Prima Gadim is bothered with the kasha. He doesn't understand what's the whole shaila. What if the bris would be on a regular Shabbos Yom? What if the bris would be on a Thursday morning? When would you do the bris? How come they didn't ask the shaila then? So he says, because we know what the practice is. We perform the bris in shul at the end of the davening before Aleinu. And then we say Aleinu l'shabecha. Then I'll call afterwards. If this, the bris milah separates us. We're different from the nations of the world and what we do and the way we act and our bodies are different. Everything is different. So what was the shaila on Rosh Hashanah? So have the bris before Aleinu. So he says, no, because already in the days of Rashi and the Aruch, the practice was that they daven so long on Rosh Hashanah, Aleinu will be after Chatzos. That's what he says. He gives a historical interpretation. The question is whether it's true. So he claims Aleinu in the end of the davening will already be after Chatzos because they said so many pinyutim. And he said, if you wait till after Chatzos, that's already a beetle. That's already a bitl of the union of Zvizim Agdim and Mitzvah. He insists that whenever you have a mitzvah you can do all day long, you have to designate this man for sure sometimes before Chatzos.
you have Muslim more often. You have Muslim before the bris.
So you have Muslim before the bris. That's what we do on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah, we do that on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. But on Rosh Hashanah, we don't, because the Prim Gadim claims because of this consideration.
You should be pushed off anyway. Even if you're going to be violating it's useless, maybe if you're performing something else first, you're allowed to violate it.
He suggests that not. He claims, I don't know. Maybe he can dig up it. He thinks that that's the, that was the nekuda of the problem here. Yes, Rabbi.
Yeah, sometimes I've seen people think of this and not really in the afternoon, because the ostensible rationale is that more people will come in today, and then it's like a little bit of a hot stuff, or rubbing against the community of the afternoon.
Right, so that's what the Prima Gadim is not happy about, right? Usually by a Pidyon HaBen, that's the common practice, that people do the Pidyon HaBen late in the afternoon. Why don't they do the Pidyon HaBen in the morning? Because they think that more people will show up if you do it in the afternoon. So the Sdei Chemed has a long essay about this, a few pages long, and he thinks that it's not right. He thinks that it's more profit to do the Pidyon HaBen in the morning, even if it means that you'll have fewer people. That's a discussion in Pesukim, which is preferable, Barovam Hadras Melech or Zriz Maklim in the midst. Because if you wait till after Chatzais, that's the Prima Gadim assumes that's already a violation of Zizim.
Is there any difference between
Yilud
Zmanim
and Yilud Zmanim? This Dvar Avraham has in his first volume the three Chalokim of Sel Shuvah Dvar Avraham. So in the first Chalik, he has a famous psak that on a Milo Bizmano, then it says, to do it in the morning. Early in the morning, that's like Gemara Pesach and Daf Dalet, where they quote this Pasuk, Vayashkem Avraham Abok. So the Gemara is talking about Kol Yom Kula Kasha L'Milo. But he says if it's a Milo Shaloi Bizmano, so then he says the obligation is to do it at the first available moment. So he says there, if you postpone till an hour later, a minute later, you're ready Mevatul Mitzvah. He says that that's more serious. To postpone on the Milush Ladizman is more serious. That's a Chiddush. So in the second Chelik of the Dvar Avraham, he has a few letters to Rabbanim who disagreed with him. They thought that it wasn't correct. That Milush Ladizman is end his Milush Ladizman. He shouldn't postpone to the next day, but to postpone to the next hour, that's only a violation of his Zvizim HaKdim of the Mitzvahs. So quite a few Rabbanim sent him letters disagreeing with his tshuva in the first volume, and he keeps on defending what he wrote. He keeps on insisting that that it's so. But I think the majority held that he's wrong. The majority of the Rabbanim held that Dvar Avraham was wrong. They held that the Milo Shelo Bizman is the same as Milo Bizman. You're not allowed to postpone to the next day. That's mamish. That's not right. But to postpone to an hour later, that's assumed to be only a violation of Zvizim HaKdim.
Pidyon HaBen can be done at night also, is that correct?
In Shulchan Aruch it says, the Shach quotes that you do Pidyon HaBen Bayom. Why do you have to do Pidyon HaBen Bayom? The Gemara says that women are not chayv to do Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara doesn't say that it's mitzvah sesa shazman gram. So you see from the Gemara that it's not only can be fulfilled by Laila. So what do they say in Shulchan Aruch? You shouldn't do Pidyon HaBen by Laila. So they give around 10-15 different reasons. But the pashtus is that Meikir Adin, you can do Pidyon HaBen Balayla also. The minig is that you only do it by Yom. The Shach says the reason why you do it by Yom is because you usually give a Suda when you make a Pidyon HaBen. And the Gemara says in the last Perek in Yuma that people only enjoy the food when they see it. A blind person doesn't see the food, so he doesn't enjoy it as much as a person who is able to see it. So if you're going to have the party at night, it's going to be dark, so nobody will enjoy the meal. So you turn on the lights if you have a lot of lights. So that's the same as having bayom. So then according to the Shach, you solve the problem. If you have very good chandelier, and it's Laila Kayom Yoyer, then you can have, then there's no problem at all. The fact is, even an opinion of the Sma and Choshe Mishpah, that if you have the lights on, you can have a dintar by Laila. And dintar by Laila is because it's dark. And if you turn on the lights, that's Laila Kayom Yoyer, so then you can have a dintar by Laila. So that's not accepted. But according to the Shach's explanation, that the whole reason for the Pidyon HaBen not doing Balayla is because of the meal that you won't enjoy. So the Pesukim said, later Pesukim said that today we have big lights, so then there wouldn't be any problem. And others give 10-15 other reasons why you don't do Pidyon HaBen Balayla. So some of those still apply even if you have the lights on. Some say that it's Zecher LaMakas B'Cheres, the Makas B'Cheres was Bayom, so you should do the Pidyon HaBen Bayom. How is Machnas Chorez by Yom Shleita Vayitachzi Alayla? So the first line of Maseches Machas before Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the first line says that Machnas Chorez, they were brain dead at Chatzos Alayla, but they didn't drop dead until Alois HaShachar. It says they were mefarfarim kol alayla kula, they were tossing and turning all night long. They got sick at Vayitachzi Alayla, deathly sick, but they didn't die until the morning. That's the first line of Maseches Machas. So that's one of the many reasons that's given why the Pidyon HaBen should be Bayom Zecher LeMakas B'Chayim. They give other reasons why, but they quote from the Gemara Kiddushin that the Gemara says that women would have been Mechuyvim Pidyon HaBen if not for a special Zeres HaKasuv. So that indicates clearly that it's a mitzvah saseh shaloyaz ma'agramas. You can't say that Yikir Adin Derai, so you can't do Pidyon HaBen Balayim. In fact, the Netziv has a tshuva where he claims historically that the Zman HaTalmud, the practice was to do Pidyon HaBen Leil Lamed Aleph. And it's only in the later days that they developed the minhag to wait till the Yom Lamed Aleph. They did it Leil Lamed Aleph because Riz Magdimim Mitzvahs. So why don't we do it Leil Lamed Aleph? Questionable. Pidyon HaBen, yeah. Once in a while, if you have a big shas on top, you do it Pidyon HaBen Balayim. But Moshe has a tshuva. Moshe has a humorous tshuva that happens now also. The parents invited everybody to come to the Pidyon HaBen, and they made a mistake. They invited them for the Leil Lamed. It's supposed to be, they invited them for Yom Lamed in the afternoon. And it's supposed to have the Pidyon HaBen Yom Lamed Aleph in the afternoon. So what do you do? It's the wrong day. So Moshe says, everybody's there. What are you going to do? You're going to tell them to go home and come back tomorrow? He says, dead embarrassed. So he says, wait till after Tzeisa Kechavim. So it'll be Leil Lamed Aleph. So you do Pidyon HaBen, Shas Lachak, you do Pidyon HaBen Balayla. I remember once in the neighborhood here, there was a couple had a baby, they were going to do Pidyon HaBen. It was in the winter on a short Friday. And hardly anybody was going to show up to the Pidyon HaBen. Everybody had to run to work. So Rabbi Schwab recommended they should do the Pidyon HaBen on Thursday night in order to have more people attend. If you have an unusual circumstance, then we permit Pidyon HaBen on Leil Lamed Aleph. That's one of the additional, one of the reasons why they give to have Pidyon HaBen by Yom and not by Laila, is because there's one opinion in Rishonim, we really don't paskin like this, but some Hamachma like that, that the Pidyon HaBen is not enough to do the Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph on the 31st day after the baby was born. It has to be after Choftes Yom Yud Beishois and Tash Tzak Chalokin, after that whole unit of time. So sometimes if you do the Pidyon HaBen Leil Lamed Aleph, you won't yet have the 29 and a half days. Let's say the baby was born late in the afternoon before the Shkiyah. You can do the Pidyon HaBen Balayla, so it's just you have 29 full days and then 3 hours, an hour and a half before the Shkiyah, an hour and a half after the Shkiyah. So you don't have the 29 days, 12 hours in a few minutes. So that's another reason why they insist on doing Pidyon HaBen Bayom, satisfy that opinion. Because then most of the time it'll be not all the time, most of the time it'll be taken care of, that you'll already have your Chavtes Yom Yud Beishos. But Mikir Adin, we pass, you don't need the Chavtes Yom Yud Beishos, just the Yom Lamed Aleph.
Rabbi, you mentioned, I just want to check there, there's Arash Hashanah Yom Kippur, we do before Musa, because we're afraid we're going to lose the dinner changes. So then the Mishnah says, so we do this bris before Musaf, and he gives such a svara, he says, by Lotho Rosh Hashanah. So does he mean you only use that svara when you're probably losing this resource? Is that what it means?
Don't remember. Gotta take a look. The pasuk says that when Avraham Avinu was chopping the wood in order to bring it to the Akedah, Vayavaka Atzei Oilo. What does that mean? Atzei Oilo. It means logs that you're going to use for fuel to burn a carbon oilo. So how is it called Atzei Oilo? So the Targum Onkelos in this edition says, V'tzalach O'e La'alosa. He chopped wood to use it for the carbon oilo. But other editions of the Targum Onkelos have a different reading. V'tzalach O'e Da'alosa. So that's the problem. O'e Da'atzei Oilo. the Eitzim are, at the time that you chop the wood, it's already called Atzei Oila. Oh, it did Alosa with a Dalit. What does that mean? So somebody once asked about what kind of Atzei Oila? So he quoted that Gemara, that the Gemara says you have to use a Kardam Shal Hegdish, it has to be a Klishari. In fact, this is Rachim discusses it. So he says when you use a Kardam Shal Hegdish to chop the wood, so the wood already has a Pesach Dusha to it. It's Miskadish Al Yidei.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Gemara says that the doctor, you should prefer to use a Kardam Shal Hegdish to chop Eitzim for the Marach. The doctor can use it. See? So perhaps that's what Avraham Avinu used. Maybe he used a kardam shel hegdish. Maybe it was magdish a kardam. And then when he chopped the wood, it was already atzel, already had a status of atzel. That was his suggestion. That's a chiddush. The Pirkei de Rav Lezer has a comment on the ayel, on the ayel achal yoylom, that everything in this ayel was put to use and nothing was wasted. That the skin of the ayil was used later to write tefillin and mezuzah, and the horns of the ayil were used later for shofar, and the wool of the ayil was used to make tchelis, and the bones in the ayil was used later to make chalilim and the beis hamikdash to play shira, and the gibim was also used to make a harp later on to play kalim and the beis hamikdash. And then the Pirkei de Rav Lezer, that's an obvious Rav Nosson, and the Pirkei de Rav Lezer, and the Pirkei de Rav Lezer adds on that the right horn of this ayil is going to be the Shofar Shel Mashiach L'Asid Lover. All the wonderful things happen from the Akedah. And that's why the Medrash has a comment. Why is the knife called the Ma'acheles? The Kachas Ma'acheles Lishchotez Benoi. What does the expression mean, Ma'acheles? Rashi uses Sakin Hashem Shocheles as Habosah, because it cuts up the meat. And the Medrash has another lashon. Why is this one called Machelos? Usually we don't call a sakin Machelos. Only this one is called Machelos. The Medrash says, because Bnei Yisrael keep on eating the schusim. We're living off of the schusim already for a few thousand years. We're living off of the schusim of the Akedas Yitzchak. Many wonderful things happen to the Bnei Yisrael, all in the schus of the Akedas Yitzchak. Yesterday we were talking about the mitzvahs of Shus. We were talking about the Netziv at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, that it's possible to have such a thing as a mitzvah of Shus. So the Rosh Hashanah has such a comment over here. Kachnas bincha sichit chashahavta ain't no other loshen bakosha. The Gemara says, what do you mean ain't no loshen bakosha? So the Ran has a fantastic chiddush. He says that it was a mitzvah of Shus. But the Baruch Shalom said, maybe you can do me a favor. If it's too difficult, I'm not asking, but then maybe do me a favor, maybe you can bring me a carbon, bring me your son as a carbon. So he had a brain to say no. The Baruch Shalom said, if you think it's too difficult, so don't do it. So it was mamish a mitzvah so shus. This is quite a chiddush. But this is assumed to be the concept of the binding force of all the dinim de rabbanim. The Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah, Kitavim Dadecha Miyoyin, a pasuk in Shirashim, Chaviv and Divrei Sefer, Yesim Miyena Shal Torah, that the Rabbanu Shalom appreciates when we keep the mitzvahs of the Rabbanu more so than when we keep the mitzvahs of the Raisa. So the Mefarshim explained what it means is that when a person is commanded by Kavish Bofa to do all the mitzvahs of Torah, and he does them, it doesn't necessarily, he demonstrates that he loves HaKadosh Baruch, he does the mitzvahs, but it doesn't really demonstrate that much. Maybe he does the mitzvahs begrudgingly. Maybe he does the mitzvahs with the krechts. How does a person show that he really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he knows what direction the Rebbe Shalom wants him to go and he volunteers on his own? Like a child loves a parent, or a couple is married and they love each other, so they volunteer things for the other person that the other person didn't ask him to do. If I know that would please the other one, that would make them happy, so I volunteer. So just like the Mesillas Yesharim quotes such a message, after Hashem Elokecha, how do you demonstrate Avos Hashem? Just like children who love their parents, or a couple who are married, they love each other, so they demonstrate their love by volunteering things that the other party didn't instruct them to do. So that when we volunteer things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we know would kibayochel make him happy, I'm not sure what that means, would make him happy, so that's a fulfillment of Avos Hashem. So that's the insight of all the mitzvahs of the Rabbanim, that the Chachamim had the insight to know and what direction the Rabbi Shlomo wants us to go, and what would Kivayachal make him happy. So they said, do these things, and this will HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it as an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef. An Eina Mitzvah V'Yosef is a demonstration of Avos Hashem. So that's what they interpret on the Pasuk. Kitotim Daidecha Miyoyin. Daidecha means your love, your demonstration of the love that you have towards me. Chavivim Divrei Sofrim, all the mitzvahs the Rabbanon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us to do it. We volunteer on our own to do it because we know that that would Kivayochel make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. He cherishes and appreciates that. Yosef Miyena Shalter, more so than the commands that he asked us to, he instructed us to do, we do it. That shows Avos Hashem and not that much. So it's along the lines of this Drasha Saran. Okay. We have a meeting for Mincha now or not? It's after it's not.